This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR. Hello, Ollie and Simon here with you as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. They let us do this once a week, which is nice. It's almost like being let out, isn't it, once a week?
Yeah, sort of get things off your chest a bit, I guess.
Under house arrest, but you're allowed to go into the garden once on a Wednesday
Precisely,
evening.
What
we're going to look into Twitter news shortly. We always do this with Sebastian, our newsreader, and Boston United's biggest fan. We'll take a look at what's been trending worldwide. Just looking back over my last week, it has been busy. Probably the most unusual thing that happened. I haven't told you about this yet, Simon.
Yeah.
So, I was broadcasting from like a big like race.
Yeah, I knew that.
On the last Sunday
charity
morning.
Charity run.
Oh, I'm all about the charity. I'm all about the charity.
How much did you give on the day?
Well, I was being paid.
Being paid to do it.
Oh, I'll turn up to the opening of an envelope if it's a little bit of cashwire in there.
What an idiot.
Yeah, people raising money for cancer is very good for my profits.
Oh, my goodness.
The annual tax return.
Wow.
So, and then afterwards, my friend texts me. She's got a few dogs, and she was in Spain. And she's got it's some Italian greyhounds. I don't know if you know what Italian greyhounds
are. Do they look like
are.
Normal greyhounds?
They're tiny.
Oh, right.
They're like tiny. They're very cute, but they're like skinny little mini greyhounds.
Mm.
You know, there's like micro pigs that you
can
get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The greyhound version of that.
Got you.
And she said, I really want to enter Pippet into this dog competition.
Pippet.
Yeah, Pippet. So there's Pippet, Peanut, and
Pippet
Freckles.
And Peanut and Freckles.
Yeah, but Freckles is a Jack Russell.
So Jesus.
It's in Adelstrop, which is a town, a tiny...
Is this all made Pippet going to a show in Adelstrop? I mean, what is this?
Which is about...
It's like Harry Potter.
It's about an hour from me, and it's in this tiny little Cotswold village. But one of my friends, Hen, actually lives in this village, funnily enough. So
okay, Hen. I mean, who are these people and these dogs and this place? It's ridiculous.
Rachel's sister, Francie, says to me, will you come with me to the dog show? I don't want to go on my own.
Mm.
Rachel, who's flying back from... So Francie's looking after the dogs. Rachel's flying back from Spain and says, I will be there at 3:00. Just get the dogs entered and I'll meet you there.
Right.
Okay?
What do they have to do?
So, I don't know. So I've never been to a dog show before, have I?
Why are you going?
So I don't know. I just got roped into it, didn't I? So Hen, Francie, Peanut, Pippet and Freckles and I... got in a Renault Clio, which is not a great fit for three dogs, and headed over to Adelstrop.
Right.
It's a nice sunny day. We arrive. The village is teeming. It's full of people. Okay? Mm. Dogs everywhere. I'm fucking dogs everywhere.
Right.
Right? Big ones, small ones,
some
shaggy ones, short haired. Right. So I line up and I get the list in front of me and I don't know what to enter. It's like best bitch in show.
Right, a bit offensive, okay. But yeah. Harsh.
And best condition. So this is what we decide to enter Peanut to.
Best condition?
At this best condition, like, I know, right? I don't know.
Jeez.
So I'm looking at... So we enter. Okay, yeah. I pay the £2 to enter her in. I'm looking at my watch and I'm thinking, right, Rachel's running late here.
Mm-hmm.
Over the tannoy. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host. Who's that guy that does Pointless?
Alexander Armstrong.
So Alexander Armstrong walks out into the middle of...
What? Are you joking? Alex, as in like Armstrong and Miller?
And then who's the guy that always does all the commentary on the BBC for the World Cup? He used to be a rugby
Gary
player.
Gary Lineker?
No, rugby.
Oh, John Inverdale.
Yeah, so John Inverdale
what is
walks
this?
Out into the...
What is this? John Inverdale and... And Alexander Armstrong hosting a dog contest in Adelstrop.
So Alexander Armstrong,
what is this? So this is ridiculous.
So Alexander Armstrong then says, right, can we have all the bitches into the ring?
Right.
Right. At this point...
How many? Are we talking like tens of people or hundreds of people watching?
Oh, there's probably a good 80 people there.
80? How does that... How have they got Alexander Armstrong to do it? How the hell's he doing this? And John Inverdale? What? It just doesn't make sense.
So, Anyway, I turn round, Francie's legged it, and I am holding Pippet, right? Mm. This ridiculously effeminate, tiny little greyhound.
Yeah.
And Francie's laughing her head off. She's on the other side of the ring, yeah. Laughing her head off.
Uh-huh.
Oh, for fucks.
So
off I go into the ring, right?
Doing what? Just walking around with it?
I don't know what I'm doing because I've never been to a dog show, right?
Sure, well, you went first, surely.
So I've got ripped jeans and a beanie on.
You went first, though. You weren't the first to go out there.
No, so I'm in with the rest of the bitches.
Oh, and they're all just walking around too?
Yeah, so they have to parade, but they're like trotting around. So I'm like, oh.
Well, in like the weird way the horse is doing.
Yeah, so
show
I'm like
jumping.
Trotting around yeah. with the lead going, bit like trying to get her to like look at, because her tail's between her legs. She's petrified because there's a great fucking Dane behind
yeah.
her. She's like 10 times the size of her. And then I'm trying to parade it in front of Alexander Armstrong.
I don't understand. This is, does make believe.
Anyway, so five people are left in the middle.
Including
and
you.
And this is the most embarrassing, as if it's not embarrassing enough, right, that I'm in there doing this. So I'm stood in the ring and everyone's in the, so I don't really notice that everyone's, sort of half the people have left.
Right.
So I walk in to like the middle of the, and the guy comes over and he goes, excuse me, you haven't
made the
cut. So everyone else has left. I didn't realise what was happening. Because obviously I don't know the etiquette. So he goes, no, that's not the best bit. She hasn't made the cut. So you need to
leave. Alexander Armstrong said that.
So no, this is like his assistant.
Right, okay.
You need to leave the ring now.
Oh my goodness.
And everyone was laughing at me. So me and this stupid little dog. Anyway, Rachel turns up, gets the dog, best condition round.
From Spain.
Walks straight up to Alex Armstrong, boobs out, hair up.
Right.
Just walks straight up to him in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
And it's like, hi, how are you doing? Oh, it's thanks for having us here. One first prize.
Sorry, what? Are you having a laugh?
So Pippet is now best dog condition in the show as judged.
So you were about to leave because the dog had failed.
No, this was the next round, best condition, right. Not best bitch.
Right, sorry,
she
okay.
She took her in. One, Pippet, best condition in show, as voted by John Inverdell and
Alexander Armstrong.
Yeah.
This is just the weirdest day out ever. Yeah. And also, what had the dog done differently that he hadn't done with you? Just because Rachel's come in and
she had her tits out.
Fluffed her hair and got her tits out.
Yeah.
Are you having a laugh?
No.
What is this place? What is this place?
Yeah. I know.
What did you get for winning? What did Pippet get?
Some dog chews and a big rosette, which is too big to put on her because she's so small.
Jesus. That is ridiculous.
I know.
I thought like parts of the Cotswolds were very quintessential.
It's a posh place.
I'm assuming now
there's a lot of neck scarves going on.
I imagine then that Alexander Armstrong and John Inverdell maybe just live there and have been roped in as a favour. Do you reckon?
I imagine so.
It's just crazy. Yeah. What about Richard from Pointless? Was he like sat at the side like looking at his laptop every so often going, Pippet, I'm afraid that wasn't the best. We've got the stats here. Only two people out of 100.
You haven't made it through to the final. Please can you fuck about the ring?
Here were some answers we could have had.
FUBAR Radio.
Thank you. Ian Simon here. We're joined by our good friend and newsreader, Seb Noble, who brings us what's been trending across the globe for the last 7 days on, well, Twitter.
Yeah, beginning with hashtag Rolf. This is the new impending number one, which Rolf Harris is penning. Have you not seen this?
No.
Oh, this is complete news to you.
I was really worried, actually, when you said Rolf. I didn't know it was to do with Harris. I thought it was going to be like an unfortunate abbreviation for like a business, like the F was Federation. It was like the Royal Ordnance.
No, this is Rolf Harris, who has started writing a song about his conviction as a sex offender.
I wonder if the victims get it for free on their iPod like you two.
Is it just a remix of Two Little Boys?
No, Two Little Girls, I think, yeah. No, this is... he's actually called them money-grabbing wenches. Is basically slagging them off, saying that...
genuinely?
Yeah, no, this is absolutely true. I can't believe you haven't seen this.
I don't know how I missed this completely.
He's writing this song about how, he's been stitched up, basically, how they've just sort of taken advantage of the climate against celebrities and making these false accusations against him. And he's looking to release it when he thinks he's going to get out in 2017. And lots of people say,
what's going on? Why is he getting out in 2017?
Because he might be given parole. And now some people are saying because of this, he shouldn't be given parole. So if you haven't checked out the lyrics, then go online. They're quite readily available, the words of this song.
That not doing himself any favours there, is he?
It's absolutely disgusting, but some of those rhyming couplets are lovely. I like his.
Lovely. It's like Shakespearean sonnet.
Yeah, a lot of nice lyrics going in there. So I'm looking forward to him releasing that one. Moving on to hashtag Jurassic. Mm. Now,
this is a bit of a sore point for me.
I should explain, this is Jurassic World, the new Jurassic Park movie in the franchise, the fourth one, which over the weekend became the biggest. It broke records in terms of worldwide sales.
Oh, wow. I'm really pleased for that, because it's a really great series of films.
More than $300 million taken worldwide over its opening weekend. I was talking to somebody who knows about this, and he said basically that's because they did it in China, and China makes a huge difference.
Oh, of course it would.
So, that's why. And actually, probably Star Wars will break it later on this year.
I have seen the film.
Yes, well, you have seen the film, haven't you?
Well, this is a sore point, because basically this was the scenario. Ollie, a couple of weeks in advance, had planned to go to the cinema with me, my girlfriend, and Seb.
I want to say I organised this. I made the effort to organise it, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't that be cool? Anyway, so the three of us, plus my girlfriend, Ollie organised it. Let's go on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Comes to the week of the viewing, we're ready, right? Thursday, ready to go. I thought Ollie booked it, but at this point, to be honest. And he goes, oh, Thursday, on Friday I'm going away, and I think I'll be a bit tired if I stay up so late.
Because we'd be
Thursday
home at midnight,
night.
and we're doing the breakfast show on the Friday morning.
He kindly goes, oh, I'm really sorry, but instead, could we change the plans to maybe cycle to the pub and go for a pint? And I thought, oh, well, it's a compromise, but, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But then we found out that he went to the cinema on Tuesday night.
In an
available spot that his girlfriend had free.
No.
She wasn't able to come on the Thursday, so it sort of feels like...
No, she could have come on the Thursday. She wasn't at first. In context, I said, let's book it a week later, of which then you were going on holiday for 10 days.
I've been going on a holiday for months.
I've been booked for months. What it meant was, I said to you, can we rebook it for the following week? And you said, no, because we literally haven't got time. So I was going to go and see it. Anyway, what? No, it's no one's fault.
It's your fault.
No one's done anything wrong.
Well,
what I will say is, two things about the film.
Yeah.
You can go and see it if you've never seen Jurassic Park. If you've got a partner saying, oh, I've never seen it. No, you can see it as a standalone film. But for those that love the original Jurassic Park, it plays...
There's a few nods to it.
Yeah, there's a beautiful homage. It's subtle, but it's so nostalgic in parts. I would say it's actually quite intense for a PG. I would have said that was a 12A if you've got young kids. There's quite a lot of gore in it. Mm. Not gore as in like Game of Thrones
gore. I thought it was 12A.
It said PG on IMDb.
Does it? Oh.
On IMDb it says, unless it's because sometimes it can be different between America and here. So
and
maybe it's
there
one.
Are some laugh out loud moments
really?
For like parents and kids alike. I think it's brilliant. I think they've done it justice. And of course it's just Spielberg.
I'm glad you.
He didn't direct it though. Did
he? No, he was
executive producer.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Although I hope when you leant back in your chair at the cinema, those whip marks hurt you. anyway, hashtag Crystal Maze. This is the most exciting story.
This is
story.
More exciting than Jurassic Park
I
me.
Think it is, yeah. The Crystal Maze,
dun,
the cult.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I think the theme tune was a bit better and longer than that. This is the cult 90s game show on Channel 4, of course. Anyone sort of our age remembers the Crystal Maze and grew up watching
fort.
It.
There was nothing more exciting.
The fort.
Wasn't it not held on a fort? Was it not?
No, it's Fort Boyard.
Oh, yeah, I quite like that. Yeah. That
was oh, my God.
Well, Crystal what about Maze? With the money in the ball. They were running around trying to grab...
That's the Crystal Maze.
That was Noel Edmonds' Grab a Grand.
That was Noel's house party.
No, Crystal Maze is where they grab all the money.
They grab all the golden tickets and the silver ones, and the silver ones
Crystal
are deducted from the gold ones. Anyway, the Crystal Maze, it's not making a TV comeback. It's making like a sort of a live theatre stage sort of comeback. So it's going to be sort of done in front of a live audience to go and watch the Crystal Maze.
On TV?
No, not TV. Oh. It's going to be like...
actors?
No, not by actors. Real people... It's like going to watch a play.
So it's like going to watch It's a Knockout, but it's not on TV.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's who's going to be hosting it?
They are going to get Richard O'Brien
back. Yes!
They had to track him down, apparently.
No, he's not the one who used to be in EastEnders. That's Fort Boyard again. That's Fort Boyard again.
It's not Grant Mitchell.
He didn't come from behind after come from the dead after falling in the canal. After somebody shot him from a bunch of flowers. No, Richard O'Brien, they had to track him down because he now lives in Australia. He's quite reclusive. You know, he's quite...
But he has come back for it.
He is coming back for it. They're going to have all the zones and everything, Aztec, medieval.
We've received some press releases about this at the station. Yeah. It's so exciting. Well, the logo and everything.
We can do it, can't you? Yeah. I think you can enter as a team, like a work team.
I think we should enter. How many do you need? Five?
Six, I think.
Six. We should do it. Absolutely do it.
Yeah, get Ollie locked into one of the rooms. And don't buy him out.
Oh, that's nice.
And finally, hashtag honours. Of course, the Queen's birthday honours revealed. I picked this one because I don't know about you, but are we running out? Are we running out of people?
Well, he did a lot for charity, and it's justified. But just to see on the screen when they interviewed him, Sir Lenny Henry.
Oh, no, he got that for Chef. He got that for Chef. Services to 90s comedy. Yeah, but Sir Lenny Henry, I mean, were they just, you
doesn't
know...
Doesn't sound right, were
they
just,
have they got now a barrel at the Buckingham Palace, and they're just picking out saying... And then, Lenny Henry.
And of course there's a generation that will go...
Knighthood.
There's a generation now that will go, what, the guy off the Premier Inn advert? Why has he been knighted for that?
Services to hotels.
I don't know if anyone else sort of feels this about Lenny Henry, but he just feels like he's got a massive chip on his shoulder. Have you ever interviewed Lenny Henry?
No.
Oh, it's really weird.
Is it?
Why has he got a massive chip? Did he want to do Travel Lodge?
He would say, he'd say beforehand in the interview, like, we're going to talk about this, we're not going to talk about this. And just quite... And if you've heard him in long interviews, he's quite sort of, I don't know, something... I've always been a bit uncomfortable about Lenny Henry.
Really?
Yeah.
He's lost a lot of weight. He looks good now. He looks like...
No, that's Dawn French.
He came out at an awards ceremony. I was watching it with Hayley. And he looked quite trendy and he'd lost a lot of weight. Mm. And I went, he looks like a poor man's Luther. He looks like Idris Elba. And he came out and to his credit he goes, I know what you're all thinking, I look like Idris Elba's dad. So it couldn't have been better timing, it's incredible.
Yeah, but Sir Lenny Henry.
I know, it's
so arise, isn't it, arise, Sir Lenny.
Sir Lenny of Henry.
And that's what's been trending across the world for the last 7 days. Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. And so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, stranger to my eyes, strumming my pain with his fingers.
noticed by the crowd. I felt he found my letters and read each one out loud. I prayed that he would finish, but he just kept right on strumming my pain with his fingers.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here. Of course, we're joined by our good friend Sebastian Noble, newsreader and Boston United's number one fan.
Over the weekend, I went to... I had a bit whistle-stop tour, really. Saw my cousin, who lives up north in Clitheroe.
Yeah.
Lovely place.
Yeah, very nice. First time I've been. Yeah.
And he's got a brand new house. It's about 5 years old now. He's been in there 5 years. It's an old house, and they're still doing stuff to it gradually over time. He was telling me the story about when they first got the house. Now, I found this too impossible to believe because I can't believe people can be so stupid. But this is what happened.
Strange, because he's been working with Ollie for years.
What?
He was in a bidding war for the house.
It's called an auction.
Yeah. No, I've heard of the process. I know it's hard for you to believe. I've heard of the process of bidding.
Right, okay.
I know how it works.
Right.
That isn't the climax to the story.
I'm just in the supermarket to do some bartering.
So him and this other woman are going at loggerheads trying to...
Oh, that's an unusual way to resolve things.
Trying to outbid each other for this house. And he realised that... he was finding out about the house. He realised about its history, its heritage. It's quite close proximity to the castle in the centre of Clitheroe. It used to be used as dungeons. Right. So already a little bit, oh, that's interesting. And then the guy that they bought it off, he died in the home. Now,
right.
Nick was having a look round the property at the same time as the woman at one stage. And he goes, oh, you know the guy that owned this? She was like, yeah, he died in the living room. Gets a call the next day. Woman has withdrawn the bid. Now, I'm not joking. I said no. And he goes, yeah, the woman the next day withdrew the bid from the house because she was scared that it was haunted. So withdrew her £180,000 offer.
So you got it cheap.
Yeah, so you got it dirt cheap. And now I cannot believe that people would be that ridiculous. I mean, surely, if you were rocked up to a house and someone said, oh, yeah, someone died in here, or this used to be a dungeon as had, you know, horrific things happen in it, tell me that wouldn't put you off. Like,
well, no, but I don't believe in ghosts.
Would you even care at that?
I don't know. If somebody said, oh, Fred and Rosemary West used to live here, I might think twice
about it. Would you? Why?
Why? Because you don't live in that house, do you?
Why?
Why? Because you just it would just have a weird feeling. You'd be like,
why?
You'd go into the kitchen and think, oh, I wonder they probably were making a cup of tea here after they just slaughtered that next victim.
Well, see, that's interesting, though, because, I mean, humans have been in this country for thousands of years. Mm. People have died everywhere. Where we're sitting right now, someone may have easily have died here at some point.
I know, but ignorance is bliss, isn't it?
Okay, so in 100 years' time?
I'd probably just move the room around. You know when you move the sofa and it freshens up the room?
I don't think you've got like the same furniture and everything.
Do you ever do that
at
home, though? You're just like, oh, I just fancy a fresh
Yeah, I think
start.
that is the antidote to the West's feng shui. It is the antidote to it.
When I had my last breakup, I moved the desk.
Did you? Mm. Did that do a lot of difference?
It just freshens things up, doesn't it? You can transform a room just by moving stuff around, can't you?
Maybe you're right. My whistle stop tour took me then back to the Shire, where we live. We went out for a pub quiz.
Hobbits, by the way. We live in Stratford-upon-Avon. I just want to throw that in the mix. Yeah.
Went out for a pub quiz with my girlfriend, her sister, and their dad. Just the four of us. Pretty solid quiz team. Different ages, different like...
What was your name?
Stephen Hawkins Football Boots. Oh, right, yeah. Of course it was.
The classic.
Classic Stephen Hawkins Football Boots from The Office. The questions were quite hard. There was a round which I really liked, though. Seb, you'd have loved this. It was dingbats. You know, the little visual clues that give you the answer. Love a dingbat. Now, the setting is a little pub in the middle of the Warwickshire countryside. And, you know, it has the reputation for being a Daily Mail reading, very sort of right-wing, you know, love a fox hunt sort of place.
Sounds like you're local.
Now, this was the dingbat. Now, I'm going to show this to both of you here. And you can describe what you see. Now, the question... I'll do it upside down so you can see it as well, Seb. Here you go. The questions, all these dingbats, the answers are British towns and cities. They are the dingbat. Now, just describe there what you can see.
It says Marvin, and then underneath Marvin is, I guess, is that supposed to be a C?
Yeah, the letter C.
Okay, and that's an English town or...
English town or city. Now, I'll give you 30 seconds to see if you can work out what that is.
Brighton.
Right. So Ollie hasn't clocked it yet, but that's what we put.
Yeah.
Right?
It's got to be. Where else can it be?
Why do I not get this?
So, this is the problem we've got, right? So, yeah, the dingbat is Marvin... Right, with just the letter C underneath. That is the dingbat. British town or city. We've got to try and get it. Now, the context, again, Warwickshire countryside, tiny little village, little pub quiz. Like a few
Daily
men,
Mail.
Few men and his dog. Daily Mail's like scattered everywhere. Now, we're looking at that and we're going, right, Marvin. Famous Marvins. Go. Most famous Marvin, Ollie.
Well, I was just thinking, I'm hungry. Hank Marvin.
Hank. So, Hank C. Hank C below Hank, or like we were trying
Shank.
To, we were going through all those different variations, and we eventually went Marvin Gay,
Brighton.
So
that's what
so,
I that's,
so
yeah.
We looked at it and we went Gay on C. Gay. No, wait. Should we go Gay on C? And then, like jokingly, I went Brighton. Now we all laughed and went, "Oh no!" Like it's not. It's like we're not in 2015. Marvin's Gay on C. Then we start going, "Look where we are! It's blatantly." So we couldn't see past it. We're like, "It's got to be something else. It's got to be something else." Hmm. And I was like, "Look, I can't put because what if we put Brighton and it's wrong, and people go."
Gay on C.
Gay on C. Why have you put Brighton? Get out!
And they're called Stephen Hawking's football boots.
I know, exactly. These are the exact conversations we're having. We're crying with laughter at this point because we've got this dilemma. It's like, well, we want the point, but it's like, do we put it down?
I'd take the punt. But with this, well, I've taken
what else
account.
Could that be?
It's
Brighton.
It's got to be. It's got to be.
And we got to this mindset, like, it can't be anything but Brighton. So, unbelievably, we put Brighton. We put Gay on C... Brighton. I mean, I thought, God, if that's the right answer, like, I don't want to be associated with this quiz because this is really homophobic. Like, this doesn't look good. Mm. Gay on C, Brighton. Like, where are we? What are we doing? We put it. It was wrong.
What?
Oh, God.
The Marvin they were referring to was Lee Marvin. Lee on C.
Where's Lee on C?
Lee on C, it's near, near Lyme Regis.
Yeah.
We handed our shit.
So, and
someone
Steve...
on the microphone just goes, but somebody put Brighton. It's a question. I believe it was Stephen Hawking's football. To which everyone,
what? I hope you didn't show you working out.
I know, it was so awful.
Where are you going on the stag do this year? Go on, see.
The best bit was we exchanged papers to mark another team and they put Brighton as well. Oh, I felt dreadful, but it was worth a punt. We could have got a point.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
Simon and our good news reading friend, or newsing, as I've coined
now. Newsling friend.
Seb Noble's with us. We take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth and hello, Earthlings. If you'd like to tweet us your stories, at Ollie Gallant, at Cy Alexander, and at Seb Noble, who's scribbling something down.
Does he want Yeah, to you're right. That's correct. Well done.
We're still doing these.
Still doing Dimbats, sorry.
You think it'd be concentrated reading a radio show? We're just doing Dimbats in the background while the songs are playing. So, one of the big stories this week was a chap who had broken up with his girlfriend, and she was pregnant. Okay, he didn't want to take the paternity test because he knew that it was his.
Right.
You know, he was almost sure.
Yeah.
But obviously, the feckless father, as the paper's calling him, decided that he didn't want to pay any of the maintenance for the child.
Right.
Right. So,
so he knows he's the dad.
In fact, I'll throw this out to you to start with, right? Here's the situation.
I'll throw it to you.
You've had a child out of wedlock with someone that you're no longer with.
Right.
Okay. And you don't want them to find out that you're the father.
Yeah.
How do you get out of the paternity test?
Oh, Jesus.
A little spicy number for you there. Think outside the box.
Do you have to turn up? It's not like police, does
it? I mean, you're almost, you know, by not turning up, you're almost saying, I am definitely the father.
How do they do a paternity test? It's just any DNA, isn't it?
Do you know what I do?
You've got to go.
I would get Ollie, Seb, do you want to come around for beers? And then when you leave, I would get a swab, like a cotton bud, and I would take the rim of the glass of you, and then I'd take that along and go, here you go, I've done the work for you. Hand in your swab of you, and then they'll do the test and go, nope, not the father.
Imagine if it said yes. and not only were you really annoyed you've now got to pay maintenance, you found I've been sleeping with your ex-girlfriend.
None of us would be surprised.
That's what I'd do. I think
Very much like Gonga.
And I would never do that. Can I just? But that's what if that situation. If you're saying that I was trying to get out of it, then that's what I'd do.
Very much like the film Gone Girl, where she empties the toilet and then lets a friend wee in it, and then scoops the wee out to get a positive pregnancy test. That's not how he did it. Seb, any ideas?
Just like flee the country, I think.
No, because you're automatically saying
fight or flight. You reek of flight. You do.
I don't think he's the father. But when I suggested paternity test, he got on a flight and he's terrified of flying.
I don't know.
He's flown to New Zealand, and I know he hates flying. The day after I asked him whether he was the father, he just sort of left.
I don't know. I mean, is there some way of like?
So wait a minute. He didn't do what I said. How did he get out of it?
No, he
did.
It's got to be some way of transferring somebody else's DNA.
He got his doppelganger.
What? Yeah, twin brother, or something like that.
No, okay. Twin brothers are the same DNA, aren't they?
Well, they have exactly the same DNA, would they?
No, his doppelganger to go and do the test for him.
What, so just a mate that looks like him?
So, of course, it's going to come out negative that he's not the father.
He just happens to know his doppelganger?
No, so he put an advert out.
No way!
No.
So, do you look like me? If so, I'll pay £100 to come down here and piss in a pot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is amazing.
Yeah, so he tried to dodge the responsibility, send his doppelganger along, knowing that he wouldn't get caught. And,
No, I shouldn't clap that. That's ridiculous.
He's been exposed now.
Yeah, obviously,
Because
yeah.
it was actually a court-ordered paternity test.
He is the dad.
Well, I think at this point, if he wasn't...
He'd look out, he'd a lot look of effort, out wouldn't he? Yeah, if he
that's
wasn't.
That's a big just-in-case, isn't it? Yeah. There you go. So, I feel like one thing we've learnt today, if you do need anybody listening that needs to dodge a paternity test... That's not the way to do it.
Advertise for a doppelganger.
Swab your friend, as Simon says.
Oh,
oh, sorry about that.
Ollie and Si on FUBAR Radio.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Can't you see what you're doing to me? When you don't believe a word I say, we can't go on together with suspicious minds, and we can build our dreams on suspicious.
Welcome to Room 102. It's like Room 101.
But worse.
Far, far worse. As we try to banish your pet peeves into the ether every single week to be locked away for eternity, we're joined on the line by Tyler Harding. Now, Tyler has got one of those names that I really wanted in school. It's because it's a cool, it's one of the cool names, isn't it?
Like, do you like your name, Tyler?
I do, actually, yeah.
It is, though, isn't it?
Do you call Ty?
Some people do, but as I've got older, that's kind of drifted off as they realise they need to be more business-like, and right. It's become Tyler again.
Okay.
Your unusual fact that we have here, random fact about Tyler, is he was once kicked in the teeth by a Royal Marine by accident.
By accident? Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah, well, again, back in the school days when I was called Ty, the Royal Marines came to the school and they were teaching us all sorts of self-defence and stuff like that. And one of them got a bit too into it and kicked me in the teeth.
Jeez.
Yeah,
that is brutal.
I love going back to the barracks and debriefing. How was your day? Yeah, kicked a school kid in the face.
Right. What's his name? Ty. Oh, he probably deserved it.
So we're going to give you 30 seconds to give us your pet peeve today. Just tell us what it is to start with. Don't explain it. Just tell us what your pet peeve is.
My pet peeve, the ultimate thing I hate, is yoghurt.
Right,
just yoghurt.
Right, here you go.
Just yoghurt.
You've got 30 seconds. A lot of people will not want yoghurt to disappear.
This is interesting. This has got to be a good argument.
Yeah. 30 seconds starting now.
Okay, right. I'll eat yoghurt the day you can tell me whether it's a solid or a liquid. I'm not going to turn around and eat that if you can't even define what it is. Because most yoghurts, you can't pour them, so they can't really be liquid. But they'll take the shape of the container they're in, so they've got to be liquid. Which one is it? I'll tell you what yoghurt is. It's gone-off milk. Nobody drinks gone-off milk. Nobody goes, Jeremy, did you fancy a bit of gone-off milk today? Oh, no thanks. Are you mad? But Jeremy, do you want some yoghurt? Oh, yes, please. It's healthy and nutritious. I can't stand it.
Wow, that's good.
I think that's the single most passionate argument we've
really
ever
passionate.
Had. Okay, I think we need to give you some time to cool down, Tyler. We need some time to think
about
it.
Cool down, have some yoghurt.
We'll have a think. We'll be back next.
To tears, remember someday it'll all be over. One day we're gonna get so close to the edge, and we wonder.
days mean one thing, and that's Room 102. It's like Room 101.
But worse.
Far worse. Or we let you banish your pet peeves, or at least try to, every single week, into Room 102, into the dark, deep depths of eternity.
God, wow.
That's it. It's a one-way system. I mean, I'm a fan. I like a Greek yogurt. I'm partial to a...
Oh, come on.
You know, I'm partial to
when you were a kid, Tyler, were you given... Because that was quite a popular kids' food, like in the tubes and the little pots.
Do you know what I used to have?
They're even worse. The Froobs. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I loved a Petit Filou.
Now, do you remember Froobs?
Yeah, that is Petit Filou, Froobs.
What? Was it? In a tube?
It's Petit Filou in a tube.
Is it?
Something you don't know your yoghurt,
no,
do you?
I don't.
And do you not remember that my sister and I used to sit, we used to get up before Mum and Dad used to wake up, and we'd sit in the kitchen. And does anybody remember the yoghurt adverts where the lady would always look very sensual?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we would rehearse eating Petit Filous in the kitchen.
Wow.
I love them.
That's a big insight into your childhood.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So I'm quite a big fan of yoghurt, but I am overwhelmed by...
It's a really good argument.
It's such a strong argument, isn't it? You're right. I don't know whether it is a solid or a liquid.
I don't, but, you know, do we have to define it to be able to like it? And also, I have to say, I know you're saying, like, who wants to eat gone-off milk? Cheese is really gone-off milk.
I love cheese.
And I love... Do you like cheese, Tyler?
Oh, yeah. No, that is a good one. Yeah.
It's got to be milk or really, really gone off, but slightly gone off is yoghurt.
Yeah, the in-between stage I can't handle.
Okay, what I think we should do, I think we should salute Tyler for one of the best, even though it's not going to go in.
I don't think it can. I'd love yoghurt too much, mate. I'm really...
Tyler, it's not going in.
You're preaching to the wrong crowd. I love yoghurt. Love a bit of yoghurt.
But
all right.
But I thought it was a fantastic...
It was a really commendable effort.
It really was.
Like a fantastic effort, mate.
Yeah. So for
thank you.
All of the people eating your yoghurt as you were, you don't need to throw it in the bin just yet. Tyler, thank you very much. This is FUBAR, Ollie and Simon here with you as we take a look back on the last 7 days on planet Earth. Before we get into the big news, if you've just joined us, Simon did the Great North Swim.
I did. Shoulders are a bit sore still, actually. A bit tender.
Did you lube your neck like
no,
I told you to?
I've got a bit of a rash.
Why didn't you just do it?
Just forgot. I didn't have any Vaseline.
Buy some.
Yeah, I just didn't think about it.
Anyway, you were hoping to get 30 minutes. You got 30 minutes and 16 seconds.
I know. People react differently to it because a lot of people go, oh, well, 16 seconds is nothing. Like, that's an incredible achievement. But then a lot of people, i.e. my mum, goes, oh, no. Oh, never mind. As if, like, it wasn't an achievement anymore. It's like, oh, no. Yeah, oh, that's the end of it.
As do you ever
it,
think...
Like, well, hang on.
Do you ever think when, you know, if we go back to sort of Neanderthal times and they obviously... at the first signs of civilization, the first thing you do is you start to predict the future, don't you?
What do you mean? You know,
okay, so you're a Neanderthal in a cave hunting goats, right? Mm. You, at that point, you know, running around after goats, you're not thinking about, you know, inventions and what's going to happen in the future,
no,
are you?
No,
it's
no.
Just hand to mouth. Yeah. But as we become a little bit more civilized and processes become more automated, you know, we get slaves. You know, we build bigger tools, machinery.
Yeah.
That's when you start to go, wow, isn't that amazing? What's going to be built next? You start thinking to the future, and then you start thinking, what's going to be happening in hundreds of years' time? Mm. I bet you at no point then did they go, in hundreds of years' time, right, so we've got houses, we've got electricity. Do you know what I mean? We drive ourselves to work, even when it's raining, in these vehicles that sustain their own climate.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't even get wet.
Yeah.
You could drink hot coffee that's made at home, right, which is a sweet drink imported from the other side of the world. They fly it in.
Hmm.
They fly it in.
Yeah.
Right? On these big metal birds.
Yeah.
They stay in this fucking weigh tons. Stay in the sky. It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
Get into work, right? You're dry. Start to work. Go home. Still dry. Put the heating on. Fire in the house. No fire. Still warm, right? That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, do you know what they... I wonder what they do in their downtime. All that luxury, what do they do in their downtime? And they see a picture of you shivering like a shitting dog on the side of a lake.
Yeah.
With 1,000 other people diving into shitty water.
Yeah.
Because you want to.
I know. It's mad, isn't it? Absolutely mad. When you put it like that, I feel like an idiot. But maybe it is that. Maybe it is the so cocooned... so cushy, everything. Getting back to our roots, those Neanderthals in the caves, it feels liberating getting in the lake and swimming around. Like, it's really liberating. You feel like you're at nature's mercy, yet you're sort of battling with it and you're striding through it. It's great. It's liberating. I mean that. What?
I just think they must think we're absolute idiots.
No. It's cool. It's great. You know, in a way, it's no different to people... You've done a triathlon before. You're scaling up mountains, you know. There are chairlifts. Why are you scaling up the mountain?
There are moments, though. There are moments when you do think to yourself, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But I remember waking up for that triathlon and having to eat 3 meals beforehand in the night, waking up every hour to eat.
It's ridiculous.
So then I could evacuate before I started.
Disgusting.
And I remember actually crying whimpering at one point in the race because my body had just, about 6 hours in, my body was just so strung out and had nothing left that I was sort of shaking. I just thought, what? I could be sat at home. I could be playing Xbox.
I know, but you push yourself because it's liberating. It makes you feel a bit more alive, doesn't it? We're almost numb because of how many other things cocoon us, TV and warm houses and clothing and things, so... But it didn't, you know, it wasn't that extreme for me. I mean, it was a half an hour swim in a lap. You know, it wasn't like I was out there for a weekend on the lake by myself. It was just one lap. And thousands of people did it. When we arrived, the parking was so ridiculous that we had to park on one side of the lake where there was enough room. And they ferried us over like lemmings. Like to the
sheep
other side.
For the slaughter.
To the other side. And there is a moment when you're asked to all warm up and there's a couple of hundred of you. I think it's 280 in my batch of people that went.
Batch?
Or wave.
You sound like
they were called
buns.
Waves. They were called waves. in my wave, and we all had identical coloured hats on. So you go, like, I was in the orange wave.
Was there moments when you're on that ferry and you're crossing and you're looking at each other like, what the fuck are we doing here? Well, you don't know the person, but your eyes say it all.
There is a little bit of that. Yeah. You're going, oh, you're swimming. But I think when you're on the ferry and you're in your warm, lovely clothes, you look over the edge and you just look at the lake below the water, below the boat, and you just think, that is deep, dark and cold. And you were teasing me because Ollie went and found out that in the lake there are pike and eel. And they're just, I don't know. I mean, I'm a fay with, I've held live fish and stuff before, but eels especially, I don't like snakes. And the idea of the eely, slippery eel coming up between your legs or whatever, I mean, that is just a vile.
No one wants a slippery eel between their legs.
When I was in the water, it was cold, but the visibility was pretty clear, actually.
That's worse. I was saying that about when I went.
I could see the end of my hand in the water the full way, right? But the Lake Windermere this was in, by the way, it was so deep that you couldn't see anything.
Not because it was murky, it went dark.
Because it went dark.
That's the worst. I remember swimming in Croatia and it was like a blue water, this island called Vis. It's like one of the only blue water reserves. Yeah. There's eight in the world. And I remember swimming and being like, this is going to be incredible. And I swam out to a shipwreck. And as I swam out, I put my head under the water and I could see in front of me almost into, it was crystal clear. So there was no murk. And it just went into a dark blue.
Yeah, because it was just getting further away.
No, no.
It's just like space, isn't it?
And then I put my head above the water because I thought, oh, I don't want to look down. And then that's even worse.
I know, it's like space. You can't get your head around it.
You know, what's brilliant about when you panic when you're swimming is you go from a sort of, I'm quite a good swimmer, like a calm, collected breaststroke, to sort of like an uncomfortable doggy paddle.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Get out.
Okay. And the funny
you go slower, ironically.
Even if you've been in for like 10 minutes, you cross the ages. I remember when I got to the shipwreck, that last few feet, like as if anything's different there.
Yeah.
When you're climbing up the ladder, you sprint as if
absolutely
because
I know, it's mad, but I could see the end of my hands. Obviously, because there's so many of us doing it, all of the fish and everything, they'd migrated to the other side of the lake, I reckon, because there was so much splashing going on. They probably thought it was a threat. In fact, I think there was fishermen lined up on the other side of the face who were just like reeling them in because they'd all like made their way over. But at one point, there was something in the distance, and I was like, oh my goodness, what is that? There is something there.
Someone's foot.
No, it wasn't someone's foot. It was an odd colour, and I was coming up closer to it. And I was worried because I don't know what it's going to be. It could be a bit of pollution, but it could be a fish of some kind.
No.
Got close. Now, bearing in mind, this was about the halfway point, so this is the deepest part of the lake.
Mm-mm.
Guess what's just...
Don't want to know.
Someone's goggles. So tragic. Who loses their goggles halfway? And how? Like, how loose are they that they just fly off? And then now, I know that at that point, if they've just lost them, they've got complete the rest of the lake swim with no goggles whatsoever. Just, and seeing they don't, like, fall to the ground, they just tragically, like a petal in slow motion, just drop to the 280-metre deep lake. Oh,
forget it.
Tragic.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. Like a swinging vine, swing my heart across the line. In my face is flashing signs, seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold, I'm just doing what we're told. Kills me, makes me feel alive. I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars.
watch it burn. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. And I feel something so wrong. We're doing the right thing. I could lie, could lie, could lie. Everything that drowns me makes me wanna fly. Makes me feel alive.
Simon here. While you were doing the Great North Swim on Saturday, I was at a suit fitting for my sister's wedding.
Of course, yeah. Not long now.
And we all went for a coffee afterwards, the guys, to put some plans in place for the stag do, because I'm obviously organising that.
Mm-hmm. How many guys are they going to be on it?
Not many. It's about 8 or 10 of us.
Both dads?
No, not both dads, no.
Because, neither dads?
No, because we're going away for the wedding, we will go out the night before the wedding.
Oh, dangerous.
While we're in Greece. Dangerous. So that's where we'll do the family thing. Okay. This is sort of like a boys' stag do, if you like.
Yeah.
While we were sat down having coffee and we're discussing ideas for the stag do, because a lot of people were giving their sort of...
input?
Yeah. Mm. And a while ago I was in... arrived in Tallinn in Estonia very early in the morning when I was travelling, and I was sat in the town square, and it's a beautiful sort of sprawling sort of area, a very open plan. And I heard this very... It's about 5 o'clock in the morning. And then I just heard this... And this guy came running past me, dressed as a fox...
Right. Looked like a onesie.
Looked left, looked right, bright eyes, startled, looked at me, and then ran off down an alleyway.
Right.
And then a few minutes later, it is. And then 19 lads dressed in full hunting gear came running down things.
That's so funny.
Armed with alcohol.
Oh, my goodness.
This guy looked terrified.
That is brilliant.
And then they all looked at me. Mm. As if to say...
Which way?
Yeah, and I thought, that man needs a break. So I just sort of shrugged my shoulders and they all ran off. But they were all galloping.
That is so funny. So you're going to do that?
One of the guys that I was with the other day said, he goes, yeah, I was on a stag do and I was chatting to... They'd rented a midget. And I was... And straight away I was thinking...
Rent a midget, that is a thing, isn't it? That's a thing.
But I said to Will... I said we can't. That's not a thing. Like you can't not.
It is a thing.
That's not. No, but that's not PC. Like I'm not.
No, of course it's not PC. But it's a thing. That's what that's.
And
that
he goes.
Happens.
No. He goes. No. I was talking to the guy afterwards, and he said, actually, do you know this is the guy talking who is the rent-a-midget. He said, oh, this whole PC thing's it's ruining the business.
Really?
He goes, yeah. He said, the guy turns up. He's like, I'll do anything you want. You can tie me to you. I'll dress as a parrot and sit on your shoulder for the evening.
It's mad. Absolutely mad.
He goes, I'll chase you round, dressed as a cowboy, whatever you want.
Just name it.
Yeah. And he's really happy. He's like making great money. I said, well, no, that's not. These rules are putting these guys out of business. I said, but it's not okay. Do you know what I mean?
No.
That's not. And he was just, this guy's like, yeah, this moral sort of like, it's putting me out of business, mate.
Everyone on the moral high ground's putting me out of business.
Yeah.
That's devastating. But here's the thing, I've seen it loads. I've seen that.
I would like to say that I'm not renting a midget.
And you're not going to be dressing as Huntsman?
Okay, I'm not dressing up as the Hunt.
Sounds boring then. What are you going to do?
A few ideas.
Well, it doesn't sound as good as the midget tie.
It will be fun. So
right, okay.
Of course it will be.
Okay.
But I just don't wish to rent a midget or chase somebody dressed as a pack of huntsmen. That's
fair,
all.
Fair enough.
Actually, one of the other guys was telling me that, and I think I have to be careful about this, what was his fiance, now his wife, was quite highly strung.
Right, okay. Yep. With you.
You're with me.
Yep.
And she...
Bridezilla.
Sort of, I won't say threaten.
Some might say threatened him.
The other boys. Now, what you'd think instantly is
What do you mean?
Well, she spoke to the boys and said, look, I don't want strippers on this do. Now, quite a smart girl... knew the other boys quite well.
How many are there going on it?
No, so this has happened. This had happened.
Oh, sorry, this is right. A previous one. Sorry.
So before it had happened, she said, look, to the boys, look, I don't want any strippers on this thing.
Yeah.
And of course, you would think to yourself, well, the boys would be like, well, forget it. It's a stag do what we want. But she knew them all quite well, and I think she had a bit of info on a few of them. They said, look, this is perfect. Like, I'm not being funny at all. I just don't want any strippers. And if there are, then you know that I'm going to share that information with everyone.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So they came to a compromise where they got this very large lady. People may have seen her before. She's been on Jonathan Ross, actually.
Right.
And she's like a obese stripper.
She's been on Jonathan Ross?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know if it like appearances for, right, okay. You know. And so she does the full shebang, you know, sort of stripping gear. Yeah. But she's a very,
very,
very large woman. To the point where she put his back out.
No way. Didn't actually.
Yeah.
What, like straddling?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So he's actually injured from the stag do.
That is incredible.
But he said at the end of the thing he was chatting to, he was outside having a cigarette. And she came over sort of to apologise for... And actually, he said, as she got down and straddled him, and all the other guys were like, you know what, that's sort of stag do, she sort of whispered into his ear saying, look, this is for them, so you just need to go along with this.
Yeah.
Look, just, and they were just
that's
having
quite
it.
Quite nice.
And then as she was doing it, sort of man, she's up and down and grinding, she was saying, so how are the plans going for the weddings, everything? And just had like...
Just not like a hairdresser.
In the background, they're like...
Like a hairdresser.
And she's just like, oh, that is lovely. Is she having purple or pink bridesmaids to the... as she sits on his face.
That is incredible. And, yeah.
Anyway, he said, as she got out, she came over and said, oh, sorry about your back. You know, it does happen.
Believe it or not, it's happened before.
Have a wonderful time, the wedding. And he said, went and got off into her brand new BMW.
Really? Mm.
So she's obviously...
Do you know what? That's the thing. I mean, they get a fair old whack for it, don't they? A lot of money for that. Do you know what? I've never, ever had a strip in my life.
Well, I have, but it's your fault.
Yeah, it is.
So I totally forgot. I don't know if I really want to go into this.
What's weird is that there was no occasion.
So Simon and I...
There's no one's birthday or anything.
This is before Simon met Hayley. And there was a brief...
Thanks for stating that.
There was a brief period where we were both single together.
Mm,
really
brief.
Really brief. Yeah. But a fun period.
Great.
Because we only had each other. Yeah. Dangerous. I'm so glad this is not a thing now. And so we went out. I think the thing is, because we're on the radio together, it's very, very easy for... Come on in, Seb. He's at the studio door. It's very easy for us to sort of talk to people... And it'd be very comfortable. So it's quite a good...
I know what you mean.
It was quite a good combo. We were good wingmen.
I was wingman in you.
So we met these girls and
we didn't intend. It's important to say the town that we live in, Stratford upon Avon, is not. It's not famous for its nightlife. So there is one bar that's.
I think Shakespeare's more famous than its nightlife.
Yeah. So there's one bar that's open until about 4 o'clock in the morning, but it is a strip bar as well.
Yeah.
So, but you can go in there and drink. So we ended up in this bar, and with these two girls, and
my friends turned up.
Your friends turned up.
Yeah.
So Simon came over. Simon was really, really, really drunk and came over and went, "I've bought you a strip." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "It's on me. It's on me. I've just bought you a." And I was like, "Oh, I'm not sure if I want to do this."
Yeah.
And then, so I said to Hannah, our friend who had turned up, I said, "Hannah, I'll do it, but will you come with me? Because it feels less weird."
And she was like, "What?" And it was like, "Oh, no, 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 not like that. Not like some sort of three-way strip. I meant just like, you know, for a laugh, like, you know." Just...
So, and then Simon goes, he like rounded a few up, like cattle.
No, I didn't. That's
and
was
like, pick whichever
one
you
want. No, I didn't do that. That's not, no, no, no. That's not true. Goes, I said to Hannah, why don't, like, for a joke, why don't you and Ollie pick, because loads of these girls scantily clad walking around talking to people, and it's a bar as well, so people are just having drinks and stuff, and they were just like walking around trying to talk to guys, trying to get them to buy a private dance. So you and Hannah were just discussing, oh, maybe, what about her, what about her, like you were discussing it. So I forked out the cash for it because I thought it was hilarious.
No, you had to pay on your card.
Yeah No, that's true. It cost a lot of money.
They take Visa now, apparently.
Where do you want me to swipe this?
I love that. You know, instead of stuffing the dollars in the thongs, now they just...
Contactless on the nipple.
Yeah, contactless.
So I paid for it. I was laughing my head off. Now, you and Hannah then disappeared laughing with this girl into a private room for a dance. Meanwhile, you leave me with my other friend, Hayley, who then goes, right? She's gone. Now, there's a moment now where you are having your strip with our friend Hannah in a different room somewhere. I am in the club by myself with no money, because that took me into my overdraft. And this woman at that point decided to sidle up to me to try and, like, you know, with her spiel, say, hey...
Well, you're easy bait, aren't you?
Do you want a dance? Like, you sat all there by yourself? Well, why are you? And I was like, no.
I have no friends.
I have no money. I'm just sat here like I've got nothing.
So I was expecting, in my innocence, I thought, oh, it's just going to be a little topless dance.
Yeah.
First thing she does, take off her pants.
What, the first thing?
Yeah, just pants straight down.
Jesus.
Almost like, though, it wasn't sexy, almost like you do just before you go to the toilet. Just straight down. I thought, hold on.
Hello.
I'm not sure. So Hannah and I are holding hands.
Why are you holding hands? You're not together.
We're nervous.
Why are you nervous? You're not on a roller coaster.
I've never like had a strip dance before.
Right.
Okay, so we're in there. And then she sort of sidles over to Hannah and just sort of puts it on her face.
Are you joking?
No.
Oh my goodness.
The best thing is you know when you're... I'm trying to explain it. You know... Have you ever done this with Hayley, where you're...
Huh? Say what?
You're trying to wind someone up a little bit, so you're pulling their face, like you pull their face, you know, you'd like pull expressions on people's face, do you know what I mean? You do it with children, you like pull their cheeks, don't you?
No.
Well, I can...
No.
So basically...
I don't know what you're talking about.
She sort of went to look across at me like, I'm really angry about this. But as she did it, like, because it was so up against her face, it sort of, like, it pulled her skin a little bit. So she looked like...
Oh, no.
She sort of looked at me with, like, a really droopy face, like, how are we in this situation?
Oh, no.
And then
so
we
awful.
Both started to laugh hysterically.
What, you and Hannah?
But it was awful. So the girl...
Poor woman.
Then started
to... I paid good money for this.
Start covering herself up.
No.
Yeah, because she thought we were laughing at her.
Oh, no.
Young girl.
Yeah.
And started to put her clothes... And I went, no, I'm so sorry. You have literally... And all I could think of... this is the only thing I could think of saying, right? This is the best I've got. I went, no, I am so sorry. You literally have the most symmetrical vagina I've ever seen.
Is that a compliment? Like, I don't even...
I didn't know what else to say. Because I didn't want to be creepy.
What did she go? Oh, thanks.
No, she walked out.
Of course she did.
And we only had 5 minutes.
I'm sort of angry because I paid for that.
You paid for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, I paid for an absolute sesh.
Yeah. So that's the story in the
strip. Have you ever had a strip, Seb? Have you ever had a strip?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Well, I can give you one tip. Don't tell them that they have a symmetrical vagina. I mean, that's up there if you want
it's
the
It's not
full.
A compliment.
Producer Andy just walked in at that exact moment.
He says, what? He's like, what? I don't remember this on the prep sheet.
yeah, there you go.
Try to keep you close to me, but life got in between. Tried to square, not be in there, but said that I should have been. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so I can stop for a minute and see where you hide. Hold back the river, hold back. Once upon a different life, we rode our bikes into the sky. Now we call against the tide. Those distant days are flashing by. Other lonely water, lonely water, won't you let us wander, let us hold each other. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so high, stop for a minute and be by your side. Hold back the river, hold back.
This is FUBAR. Ollie, Simon and Sebastian, our newsreader, are here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. And hello, Earthlings.
A brand new TV show coming out. I saw a trailer for this the other day. It's called Extreme Cures for Extreme Fears.
This is Channel 5.
Might have been. And it's basically throwing... It's based on a technique known as flooding, which I remember doing for psychology at A-level. The flooding technique is basically assuming that perhaps the best way to cure someone of a fear or a phobia is to flood them with it. Which, as unethical as it sounds, they are picking people who are genuinely willing to go along with the social experiment to see if flooding still works. So, for example, if you have a fear of snakes, instead of saying, setting up a laboratory experiment where you go into a room and then the person gets out and maybe puts it on the table and then slowly gets you to touch the snake and acclimatise. Mm. It will, for example, when you're in your home in the middle of the night, come in and plonk a snake on your bed.
Oh my God.
So it's extreme flooding to cure your extreme fears.
Do you know what some of the fears are on this show already?
There are things like that.
They are,
yeah. Yeah, and things like someone with heights, they, you know, strap them above a harness above the Grand Canyon with not much warning. Really extreme stuff, like very scary.
But then do you
and they hyperventilate, they get very nauseous, but they've signed up because they believe that to cure it, they're going to have to face it. But they're never told when or where. It's just sprung upon them so that they are flooded into it.
The ongoing effect of that, hopefully, is that it can never get as bad as that. And yeah. I survived.
Uh-huh. But obviously the knowledge of it's going to happen must tear you to shreds, mustn't it?
But I think
it's like the thing that we're all scared of is the knowledge of... We're not scared of dying. We're scared of the knowledge that we're going to die. So when you get older, you get scared of the knowledge that we are going to die. But if you aren't afraid of that process, you're fine.
If you're saying that they're not having the build-up for it,
mm.
you know, they're not being told it's going to happen, because a lot of people, the worst bit about...
Well, they'll
know
it's going to happen because that's why they're on the show.
No, but you're
I
saying
know,
to me
but they don't know when.
And they don't know what
they know it's going to happen, but they don't know whether it's in 5 minutes or in 2 weeks.
And you don't know what it's going to be.
Mm, yeah.
Whereas for people with
yeah,
a phobia
like even if it was snakes, it might, you don't know whether that's going to be just someone like putting it on your shoulders when you walk down the street, or whether it's going into a public swimming pool and then everyone's an actor and they get out and then they put it in with you.
Well,
you don't know. You don't know what they're going to do.
I think for flying, the worst thing is when you have a set date and you have all that time to be anxious about
it. But surely, you know, under those circumstances, you're reassured by cabin crew, you've got friends and family there to help you through it. That you're not being flooded when you're doing that.
No, but you're talking about an irrational fear being combated by
yeah, but yours
being
is just
rational.
As irrational.
No, I know, but that's what I mean. Fears are irrational, so it's very difficult. You can have a captain turn around and go, oh, it's very safe. No, but you don't understand. It's a completely irrational fear.
Yeah, no, I know, but you're not being flooded by that fear.
No, 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 I'm not saying that.
You know, you're being... If you've got to do the flying, you're doing it in probably the nice possible way. You sit in your seat, you've got your friends and family around you, you're distracted, they go through all the safety mechanisms, which I know they have to say, and things can still go wrong, but at least you are... You know, it's procedural, you know it's going to happen. But, for example, say if under your... fear of flying and it's not well it's not heights is it
it's not heights. Flying it's not heights
it's essentially claustrophobia.
No, I have
is
bad,
your
bad claustrophobia.
Okay, so what about this then? Say you're asleep in the middle of the night, you've agreed to do this experiment, 2 weeks in, you're fast asleep, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, some guys come in and say, sorry Ollie, the experiment is now, and then without any warning you get put into a coffin and buried underground for several hours. Now you know obviously that they are monitoring you, but how are you dealing with that initially? What does that make you feel like right now? What does that make you feel like?
Well, I'm not
never heard you so timid. What does that make you feel like?
With your arms folded, hugging yourself, rocking back
Daddy?
And forward.
I don't feel great.
Yeah. So, two guys take you outside, you get put into the coffin, they put the lid over, you're already scared, then you feel them lower you into a hole, they've made sure you've got enough oxygen to breathe, there's no way you're going to die because this is an experiment. However, they pile the soil on top of you, so you're 6 feet under... And you are stranded in there until you don't know when. The flooding technique could be just 10 minutes or it could be 5 hours, but they're monitoring you. You just have to go with it and face your fear in the flooded way. How do you deal with that?
Okay. Well, I think, obviously, I just have to have the initial panic, just have the big panic
Would you
attack.
Panic?
Well, I think that I'd probably have a panic attack to start with, and I'd probably do the... I'd probably go through the phases of negotiation.
I'll give you a lap dance.
I'll say, guys, seriously, like, what's banana? Code words. The code word's always banana, isn't it? I shout banana. Is that the safe word?
Yeah.
And no,
what if
happen,
they...
Okay, so then...
What if under this you had to agree to it knowing that there was never a safe word? So, for example, you said, I'm willing to sign up to the competition knowing that even when I say you've gone too far, you have a right to carry on. So you've gone banana, okay, well, and they're going, sorry, no, you're going under, mate.
Well, I did have some therapy for my claustrophobia.
Mm.
And one of the things that did help was the therapist said to me, you've got to say to yourself, what's the worst that can happen? You know a panic
attack. Was it Dr. Pepper that you went to see?
That is brilliant.
You know that a know that a panic attack's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. And you know that this show they're going to you're not going to die. They're going to keep you safe. There's people monitoring you.
Mm.
So you've got to say what's what, and then you go. You do the opposite. You go do your worst.
Do right? You, really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what. And you go okay. Go on, anxiety. Have a massive panic attack. Do you? And by belittling
but it's easy
it,
to say that now.
I know, but that technique does. Also, I think the first thing I say, I go, can I have a crossword?
No. Of course not.
No.
Crossword?
Well, because I found that helps when I'm on the plane, on the tarmac, because I get the claustrophobia when they shut the door and I know I can't get off.
Right.
So
well, no,
my girlfriend
a
gets a crossword on the go and she doesn't allow me to have it until the doors are about to shut and then she gives it me and then by that time...
She's doing a crossword, always doing dot to dot.
You're doing the colouring in.
It's a bucket and spade.
Stay in the lines.
No, it's the Daily Mail crossword, so...
Just as good as dot to dot.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think I'd sort of look for...
Do you think it could work, though? Well, if someone offered you that tomorrow to go under those conditions, would you do it?
No, because what I found is that I've... So I've been doing flying lots and lots and lots. It doesn't really get any better.
Hmm.
It doesn't, I'm pleased that I do it, and I can do it now, and I can deal with it. But I don't get on now and go, oh, brilliant, yeah, I got through it last time, so woo!
Yeah.
This is great. No, it's not.
It's a struggle
and so,
every time.
No, and every time in a church, in a, like, see a grave or see a guy that looks like the guy that... I'd just be even worse. I'd be on edge. No, I don't think it would help.
What about you, Seb? What's your extreme fear, and therefore, what would be your extreme cure?
And being alone is not by them putting you in a brothel is not a solution.
You're already under that.
I was going to say dying alone. That was it. No, mine is probably flying, isn't it? So how would you flood that one?
Okay, I guess you've done your working day. It's 6 o'clock. You've just done a 12-hour shift. You are knackered. I mean, you are.
I'm lucky to get off at six, but
yeah, exactly. Well, you started at six, so you've had a long day. You're absolutely knackered.
You leave the newsroom.
You leave the newsroom. You got your pen behind your ear. Your phone battery's at 20%. It's been a long day.
The most exciting thing that evening is the microwave meal waiting for you at home.
Waiting for you at home.
Yeah,
let's make it as real as possible.
Yeah. What's macaroni cheese tonight?
You go to the car park. To get in your car and you're like, what the where's my car? Car's gone.
Mm.
From behind, you're ramsacked, right?
Hold
strapped.
On. Hold on. Are we talking about a single life again here and the flooding technique?
Do you mean kidnapped?
Kidnapped.
Yeah. Ramsacked.
Sorry, kidnapped.
Oh, God. Ramsack's not even a word.
It sounds like a forced...
I think it's a slang word for kidnapped.
No.
No, that sounds like a full colonoscopy, like a forced one.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he was absolutely ramsacked. There was nothing left inside him.
You're grabbed.
Yeah.
And you know you can do these flights where you stand on the top of the plane or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wing walking.
Yeah, that's it. They strap you to the top of the plane. You must have seen that.
Yeah.
And
I'm just imagining it.
You're strapped to the top of it and you're like, right, here we go. This is it.
And
we're
going to
go up for an hour. We'll drop you back home. Don't worry. Your car's there safe and sound. But the only way we're getting you home now is this. And you have to go and you're strapped to it. Your arms can't go anywhere. Your legs can't go anywhere. You're on top of the plane.
And the worst bit is it's got a taxi out
actually,
to the
runway. I don't know if that would feel as bad, actually.
Really? Why?
Yeah. No, I think it's more to do with the fact that I'm on the plane... inside it and can't get off at a certain point.
Well, that's what I have. That's claustrophobia.
No, it's not claustrophobia.
Okay, what if they do that, but instead of just flying you home, they go across the Atlantic to America?
15 hours. They're going the long way.
Oh, we've gone the wrong way. We've gone across Europe.
Yeah.
Oh, we went left instead of right.
Turn around.
Me.
Is that Michigan? No, it's Milan. Oh.
We've made a terrible error. Seb, you're not going to like this. Is that the Great Wall of China? Yeah.
I was going to say, actually, I'd get a great tour of the world then. I've always wanted to see the world, so it'd be great.
Would that not scare you, though? That maybe if you can't get off, then the promise of 15 hours on the top of there? Little nozzle for some water, that's all you got, no food? You're on the top of the plane, how'd you feel? Do a few loop-de-loops.
Loop de loop.
No, I honestly don't think that would bother me.
Really?
Yeah.
It wouldn't bother you?
No.
But you just said your big and greatest fear is flying.
I know, but that's being inside the plane and thinking it could crash. At least if I was outside, I could see when it was going to crash.
That makes it better.
Yeah, then I'd be able to strategically jump off at the last minute.
No, no.
Do you know what I think helps sometimes is when you have to really man, like, so for example, say you had a fear of flying, Seb, and like one of your family members had an accident in Australia, and they're like, right, you've got to get out. We need everyone out there.
Mm.
You would probably get on that plane on that 24-hour flight. I think in times where we really need to, you can do
fight
it.
Fight or flight.
Yeah,
technique.
Yeah, probably. Well, quite literally, yeah.
So would maybe you... what they need to do on the show is just pretend.
Fight and flight.
Just pretend that his mum's been in a horrific car crash.
I'm coming, mummy.
Well, I've got brothers.
Oh, I've got.
Wow.
Ollie and Si on FUBAR Radio.
And I fell heavy into your arms. These days of darkness, which we've known, will blow away with this new sun. But I my head alongside my heart, so tame my flesh and fix my eyes, a tethered mind freed from the light.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here. Sebastian, our news reading friend. Oh,
what's this?
Are
you watching Fox News?
That's me doing my American accent.
No, that's America Today. That's clip. Right. And that is relevant because one of the stories this week comes from the other side of the pond. In Georgia, when they had to mobilise special forces after severe flooding. Now, this flooding meant that certain areas of the town were closed down. Homes had to be evacuated.
People died.
But one of them, 12 people were killed. One of the more unusual aspects of the flooding was that the local zoo was flooded.
Dun, dun, dun.
So imagine this. You're walking down the high street and then on the opposite side of the road, walking past the estate agents, hippo.
Yeah, there is a picture of a hippo outside the estate agents.
Maybe he's looking for a semi-detached somewhere.
Well, his thing got flooded, so he's looking for a bungalow, ideally.
Yeah, exactly. He's looking for a new place.
There are...
somewhere to wallow.
Penguins on the loose, jaguars, cougars, also big cats.
They were pre-existent, yeah.
Lions.
Tigers.
Ligers.
Bears. Oh, my.
People are having to stay at home and they're having to try and catch all of these animals.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's odd. It's just such a weird...
I like the idea of when it all settles down and hopefully they tranquilise the animals and get them back into a zoo. Hopefully they don't have to kill them all.
If you tranquilise a hippo, though, what do you do next? I mean, bloody hell.
In terms of transporting it?
Well, yeah.
Well, surely forklift truck, can't you?
Yeah, no, but it's flooded. Like, everywhere's an absolute mess. They can't. There's no road. You can't get...
Yeah, it's just a really good point. They're going to have to kill them, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know. Is that ethically right?
What about just building lots of mini pens around
for
the
temporary
animals? Yeah, temporary pens.
Maybe start charging people to have a look around. We've just uplifted and moved. Here's a gift shop.
They've like
refreshments on your right.
This is the local playground where you'll see 30 penguins.
Come on, have a dip in this puddle with a penguin.
I like the idea of when it does all settle down and, you know, the town's back to normal and the zoo's rebuilt and all the animals are back in there, that, you know, you pop around to your mate's house, you just go inside and he's got a kangaroo. But, like, sitting on the sofa, like, feet, they're buddies now.
When did you get that? No. Got it ages ago.
What, Bill? Adam Ages, mate.
I swear you didn't have him the day before the flood.
So here's the dilemma, right? Imagine you lived in Georgia, all right? The flooding's happened. You're not allowed to go out of your house.
Well, this is the thing. They have been told that.
No, yeah,
they were told to stay in your homes because there are lions and tigers outside.
But for some people, it's getting desperate now because they have to either leave via boat because the house is that flooded, or supplies within the house are running out.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to get supplies in. So they need to leave the house, right? So imagine this is you. Okay, you two are flatmates. You used to live together, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
What a pleasurable experience that was, right? for you.
Yeah. So you're in a detached house.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got a little garden, little front porch.
Lovely.
Flat roof.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Sounds great. Yeah.
Little toilet on the side with a side door.
So white picket fence?
Got a white picket fence. I mean, that did get washed away.
Oh.
So in the back garden, okay, you've got a herd of hippos.
A herd?
Yeah. Herd of hippos. Four
Jeez.
Of them. Is that a herd? Let's say five.
Their jaws are powerful, aren't they? A hippo's jaw. Yeah. But they're not very fast.
No.
Ooh.
Now, this is a common misconception. Ooh. Hippos are seriously fast. And a lot
When you say seriously fast, you mean like Usain Bolt fast?
Loads of people are killed by hippos every year.
Even underwater?
Yeah, they're really fast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They run along the bottom because they're so heavy. You can just trot along. Really? But it's like quite graceful.
Seen them in that BBC One advert and they are pretty they are pretty rapid.
Okay, so you've got hippos in the garden.
Yeah.
Right? You've got snakes in the front garden.
What kind, how many?
Deadly. Thousands.
A thousand?
Thousands of snakes.
What sort of zoo keeps a thousand snakes?
Well, no, because what's happened is one of the animals has died, sadly, and they're eating it. It's a feeding ground, so they're all there. Okay,
Jesus.
You've got
shaking at that.
To the left of the house, penguins. 30 penguins. Now, okay, sounds okay. All right, but they're in season. Okay, and there's 30 of them.
All in season,
they're very, very ready to go. Randy penguins.
So, what, right. They're tiny?
Okay, well, just to keep that in mind. All right, there's 30 of them.
Yeah, that's all right.
At this point, I'm thinking we should just open our own zoo.
Yeah. And you've got a Jaguar. Jaguar. Fast, lean, hungry. They're all hungry, these.
I just drive that away and escape.
Which way do you go out?
No, it's just penguins.
No.
Why not?
Because gang, isn't it? It's the threat of gang abuse.
Is it a trick question? Is it the Jaguar?
Well, there's no trick question. I just want to know
how. Is it
the
Jaguar because it's a car?
No, it's a Jaguar. This is a genuine. I want to know how you're going to escape. There's no trick question here. I don't know the solution.
Well, I don't want to. I mean, I don't know. Seb, if we're in the house. All right, mate. Hippos.
What are you cooking for tea?
Pingu stew. Fetch us a penguin. So we've got a herd of hippos. No, thanks. Apparently they're fast. Ollie Gallant told me, but we'll take what he says with a pinch of salt.
I was going to say, yeah.
I'll have a pinch of salt on the penguin.
The snakes, I hate the snakes and they are deadly. That's not an option for me.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that.
There's a jaguar on the roof. He's rapid. I don't think we're going to outrun that. How about those penguins? They look randy, but fuck it. They're 1 foot tall. We can kick them out of the way.
Surely.
I think there's a threat of being overthrown by those penguins.
No. Overthrown?
No, but I'd still rather take my chances with being overthrown by penguins. Which,
I think,
and
realistically,
they
what's going to happen is...
Plus, surely they can't survive in those temperatures.
No, you would survive, okay, but you'll never forget it.
I don't know what you mean.
So, you would make it out of the penguins.
Yeah, well, of course I would, yeah.
But
they are
there
a
will
foot
be,
tall.
Let's just say there'd be long-term psychological effects.
I'd still take my chances with the penguins over, or think of those other options.
Aren't baby penguins blind as well?
If a king penguin... What are the big penguins called?
Emperor.
If an emperor penguin...
Penguin
had its wicked way with you...
It couldn't.
You
no
would.
Way.
I think you'd...
Imagine that.
Imagine being home the next day.
How could it even grip onto me? That. It's got flippers.
There's 30 of them.
No,
one's
not
pinning
a
you down. One's pinning you down with its flipper.
Kick him out of the way.
Beak on you.
Ah, kick him out of the way, mate.
And then the thing is, you're not thinking about the long term thing. Okay, fine. The floods clear out. Everyone's happy. The town's back to normal.
Yeah.
Hayley comes home. She's in the mood. Mm. Comes in.
What's she doing living with us?
And she goes, "You're like, don't touch me. I can't."
Take that Pingu onesie off. I don't. Of course, it would be the penguins. Am I going mad? You take the penguins.
What other option is there? What's your clever solution?
What would you do?
Yeah,
I would throw meat.
Well, won't it?
We never said anything about having meat.
What, you were cooking penguin?
You said we've got no resource. We've got
you
to leave.
You were cooking a penguin. So no. I'd cook the penguin. I cook the penguin. And I'd throw it onto the neighbour's roof and watch the jaguar jump off.
Why'd you need to cook it?
Oh, because the jaguar wouldn't eat uncooked penguin.
Raw penguin? No, thank you. I like mine diced and shredded and fried.
Well, you've got one shot of this. You've got to make sure, you know, it's tempting, haven't you?
Yeah, but surely...
Present it.
Surely a tiny bit of penguin, Ollie, and then you escape and he clocks you and sees a big fleshy human leaf.
They say 90% of eating food is the preparation, what it looks like, isn't it?
Hmm.
So I'd present the penguin.
But we know through watching TV that jaguars never eat cooked meat.
Or sort of
never.
Dine in five-star cuisine restaurants.
No jaguar, lion, tiger has ever eaten cooked meat. They catch things and eat it raw.
But that's only because no one's cooking it, Simon. I guarantee if one of them was dicing one up and frying it with a bit of onion... They'd happily eat it. They're not going to turn their nose up at it.
I don't know, maybe...
They're not going to, seasoned, an extra flavour. No thanks.
Well, we don't know. I mean, maybe it's... If they're just programmed to literally go for what they need, maybe they're not getting the right nutrients and the right stuff from cooked
like
meat.
Dogs.
Maybe they need...
Dogs will eat anything.
They need the raw meat.
You never see a dog... You never see a dog when you're having bangers and mash going, "Oh, no thanks, it's cooked."
Yeah, well,
do you? They're all at it.
Still, I think you would chance the penguins. You wouldn't be faffing around with the... And then, wait a minute, if your option's the roof, you've thrown the penguin to the other roof, so the jaguar's gone now. Now what you're doing is stuck on the roof.
Helicopter rescue.
Right.
Now a helicopter's involved.
Oh, you've got it.
That's what you always see in floods. So there's a guy that always comes down in high vis with a sling and helps you off, doesn't he?
Well, in that case, I'll wait for the guy with the helicopter to shoot the jaguar off the top of my roof.
and then just go up with him.
Just climb out the sunroof.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty good idea, actually. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander on FUBAR Radio.